Chapter 22, Alzheimer's Disease, Eradicating the Beast. To put it simply, our brain span should match our lifespan. Meryl Comer, author of Slow Dancing with a Stranger, a chronicle of her husband's war against Alzheimer's. Of all the gargantuan challenges in this section of our book, none is more daunting than Alzheimer's disease, the dominant form of dementia, with close to 6 million cases in the United States alone and at least 50 million worldwide. Other degenerative ailments are ruthless, robbing people of their independence, their dignity, their zest for life. But Alzheimer's takes grand larceny a terrible step further. It steals our ability to plan or to follow an argument. It destroys language and memory and logical thought. It robs people of their very identity, of all they are and everything they've been. If we lose our capacity to think clearly, who are we? Alzheimer's kills more Americans than breast and prostate cancer combined, and now ranks as the 6th leading cause of death in the U.S. Pneumonia is a common cause of death in people with Alzheimer's because the loss of ability to swallow means that food and beverages can enter the lungs and cause infection. Other common causes of death among people with Alzheimer's include dehydration and malnutrition. It's a brutal way to die. Alzheimer's strikes roughly 10% of people over 65. In the 85 and up set, it's more than 1 in 3. The toll is enormous for patients, their loved ones, and society as a whole. But today there is tremendous reason for optimism. As you'll see in this chapter, a new generation of medical pioneers is refusing to let Alzheimer's continue its devastating march through humanity. They're leaving the beaten path and testing new clinical modalities such as molecular pharmacology, immunology, neurosurgery, and even gene therapy that may be widely available within the next 5 years or less. If even one or two of these approaches find the success they're expecting, everything changes. Dementia could soon lose its awful power. What's more, all of us can take concrete steps today, from simple lifestyle changes to cognitive training, to greatly improve our odds of staying sharp through the years. We'll have a much better chance of dodging the gray twilight of Alzheimer's, for which there is only one recently FDA-approved medicine, as well as the less severe but more common disorder called mild cognitive impairment, MCI. In short, there is legitimate hope that dementia won't be scripted into our future. Leading scientists now believe that in the coming new normal, we'll preserve and even enhance our mental energy as we age. Currently, there are 5 FDA-approved drugs that manage these symptoms and just one, Biogen's aducanumab, that targets disease modification. Aducanumab was fast-tracked in 2021, with efficacy to be shown by 2030, causing no shortage of controversy. But there's a high-beam halogen light at the end of this long, twisting, agonizing tunnel. In this chapter, we'll introduce you to amazing original thinkers who are picking up the gauntlet against dementia. They're junking old assumptions and looking for upstream factors, like neuroinflammation, that might be fueling the buildup of two very specific proteins that cause plaque in the brain, amyloid and tau. Best of all, they're not satisfied with slowing people's descent into the oblivion of Alzheimer's. They're seeking an outright cure. We'll share with you their exciting new scientific developments and a few approaches that you can actively use yourself, including some non-invasive options that have nothing to do with drugs, period. Because for the first time ever, legitimate breakthrough solutions are on the horizon. They include a simple blood test that can predict Alzheimer's years before symptoms with up to 96% accuracy, enabling people to take protective measures to supplement protein levels and keep amyloid levels low, which some experts believe can prevent Alzheimer's. New drug discovery platforms that have identified more than 50 drugs that prevent dangerous proteins from taking root, and a company called Marvel Biome that is harnessing the power of the microbiome to fight neurodegeneration. a new system intended to clear toxins from the brain that has been shown to improve cognition in older mice when they received plasma infusions from younger mice. An Alzheimer's vaccine in late-stage clinical trials that has slowed disease progression with few unwanted side effects. Just one shot from Vaccinity's vaccine every 3 to 6 months may train your immune system to fight Alzheimer's, reduces the number of brain amyloid deposits, and enhances mental functioning. Believe it or not, a blend of psychedelic mushrooms that trains fungi's healing effects on neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's. Lion's mane mushrooms have induced cognitive improvements in dementia patients, and they taste like lobster. Simple but effective measures you can take to boost brain health. Everything from getting enough sleep, which naturally purges amyloid, to social interaction, which cuts Alzheimer's risk by twofold, to exercise. I'll explain why a brisk walk is even better than a hardcore gym workout when it comes to decreasing the risk of dementia. And an emerging treatment that has perhaps the greatest promise of all. The common belief has been that once a person's brain begins to deteriorate, memories and cognitive function are lost forever. And yet, new research from USCF studying animals has demonstrated the brain does not permanently lose essential cognitive capacities and memories as previously thought. Rather, these resources have become trapped and blocked, and by reconnecting the communication between parts of the brain, they can be restored. We're going to look at 13 cutting-edge approaches to tackling Alzheimer's that potentially can put us on the path of eradicating the beast. Erasing Alzheimer's. I don't say curing Alzheimer's. I talk about eradicating it. Dr. Rudy Tanzi. One of the leading scientists and pioneers in the world of Alzheimer's disease is Dr. Rudy Tanzi, director of the Genetics and Aging Research Unit at Massachusetts General Hospital and vice chair of neurology and co-director of the McCants Center for Brain Health. Much of what we know about the elusive Alzheimer's disease is founded on his research, and he is the chair of the Cure Alzheimer's Fund Research Leadership Group. Early in his career, he discovered the Alzheimer's gene, the beta amyloid gene. He then played a key role in discovering subsequent genes that cause early onset familial Alzheimer's, and the list goes on. He is a man of many hats, as he is now both directing the Alzheimer's Genome Project and searching for the exact microbes, bacterial, viral, fungal, that populate an Alzheimer's brain and trigger amyloidosis, a hallmark of the disease. Rudy was born in Cranston, a suburb of Providence, Rhode Island, to parents of Italian descent. When he looked around him, he saw that most kids his age didn't go on to college. But Rudy always dreamed big. While he was tempted to pursue his passion for music, he decided to follow his interest in science. He majored in microbiology at the University of Rochester and entered the Henry Tabor Lab, where his career took off. When other college students in his major were taking introductory biology classes, Rudy was devouring nature and science papers on the latest DNA mechanisms and molecular genetics. He liked to think of himself as a visionary, not allowing himself to be locked into existing rules and formulas and unafraid to take science where it hadn't been before. In the Tabor lab, he worked on genetic mapping of bacteria, where he soaked up knowledge like a sponge, surrounded by other pioneers of molecular biology. Before he applied for graduate school, Rudy worked as a technician in Dr. James Gasella's lab. At that time, it was rare for a technician to be given their own project, but again, rules didn't mean much to Rudy. After asking Dr. Gasella for a small project to work on that could be his own, he was tasked with building the first full genetic map of chromosome 21, implicated in Down syndrome. Rudy soon realized that people with Down syndrome have a high propensity for Alzheimer's. He told Dr. Gasella that he was going after the Alzheimer disease gene, beta amyloid. His optimistic and driven mindset set him up for success, as you'll soon see. In graduate school at Harvard, Rudy set off in hot pursuit of the amyloid gene. It was an ambitious, almost impossible goal. People told him and his advisor that they were crazy and were going to waste years chasing a gene that was non-existent, since amyloid is just the garbage in the brain. But there was no doubt in Rudy's mind. It took years of experiments, but he successfully cloned the gene and discovered the amyloid precursor, APP gene. Rudy continued his passion for molecular genetics and neuroscience by staying at Harvard and becoming a professor at Harvard Medical School, and eventually the director of the Genetics and Aging Unit at MGH. There, he cemented his reputation as a leader at the forefront of Alzheimer's research and co-discovered the first two early-onset familial Alzheimer's genes, PSEN1 and 2. So let's take a look at 13 possible solutions, tools for taming this beast that you can consider for yourself or those you love who might be facing a future of dementia or a current form of dementia or Alzheimer's. Tool number 1, gamma secretase modulators. For the last 20 years, Rudy has been working on drugs called gamma secretase modulators. You can think of them this way. What Lipitor does for high cholesterol, gamma secretase does for the brain. In Alzheimer's, neuroinflammation leads to loss of brain function and health. As the housekeeping cells in the brain, microglia are implicated in neuroinflammation. For thousands of years, they've been programmed to clear out toxic foreign substances. The problem is, they still assume your lifespan is 35 years. Nerve cells die as they form plaques and tangles, so the microglia get the signal to wipe out this part of the brain to protect you. But how does this cause the loss of memory, mental sharpness, and personality we're all afraid of in Alzheimer's? The massive degradation of the brain from the microglia's overzealous housekeeping results in neuroinflammation that leads to cognitive decline. The only Alzheimer's drugs on the market remove the amyloid plaques in the brain. The catch is that this doesn't restore your cognition. It's like putting out a fire that has already destroyed the entire forest. But understanding the role of these plaques in Alzheimer's has opened up a golden age for drug development. Tool number 2, a new way to test drugs that's 100 times faster and 100 times cheaper. What's equally amazing is that Rudy has also invented a way to test these drug candidates. He calls it Alzheimer's in a dish, an index card-sized 96-well plate with a brain. According to the New York Times, it's going to make drug discovery 10 times faster and 10 times cheaper. In practice, according to Rudy, it made drug discovery 100 times faster and 100 times cheaper. In these dishes, they've grown neurons and glial cells in a gel-like matrix that acts like the brain. Only 4 weeks after inserting the Alzheimer's genes, a classic plaque forms. A few weeks later, the amyloid causes the classic tangles to form. Now they have a platform to screen every drug and test each against both amyloid and tangle formation. As a result, they have already identified 51 drugs that exist in safe and natural products that stop amyloid production. Rudy has now brought forth a leading gamma secretase modulator clinical trial candidate. These are safer alternatives for reduction of the toxic amyloid protein in the brain. These modulators cut gamma secretase, which is responsible for forming the amyloid beta peptide, APP, precursor to Alzheimer's. They prevent the dangerous proteins from forming in the first place. Rudy's team has also identified several genes that are responsible for amyloid clearance. They are planning to take these gamma secretase modulators into clinical trials as I'm writing this chapter. Tool number 3. Testing brain amyloids as part of a routine screening that could allow you to take action today. Remember how Rudy said he doesn't think of curing Alzheimer's but eradicating it? He envisions a future where everyone is tested for brain amyloid levels as part of routine health screening. A simple blood test can tell you your amyloid levels and other biomarkers that are either protective or may predispose you to developing Alzheimer's. Knowing your levels allows you to take the necessary supplements to either boost protective proteins you're missing or keep your amyloid levels low. In such a world, the vast majority of the population won't need some insanely expensive drug to reverse the damage that amyloid buildup has already wreaked on their brain. All you'll have to do is take a daily low dose of a drug like Lipitor for cholesterol to maintain your brain health. Tool number 4. The power of microbiomes. But Rudy isn't stopping there. He has helped start another company, Marvel Biome, that sits at another game-changing intersection, the power of microbes in targeting neurodegenerative diseases. There are roughly 8,000 strains of bacteria in your gut and hundreds of billions of bacteria. Marvel Biome discovered that the relationship between the brain and gut is a two-way street. In patients with Alzheimer's, the gut microbiome gets out of whack. When they altered the diets of mice in a study, they found a dramatic reduction in amyloid and neuroinflammation. Specifically, they found 6 kinds of bacteria that prevent oxidative stress. The idea is to take these bacteria, figure out which metabolites within them are helpful, and make them available to people. They are currently in clinical trials and hope to bring this easy fix to the world soon. Tool number 5. Taming microglia with CD33. Want to hear something unbelievable? Based on autopsy studies, about 30% of older adults have brains loaded with enough amyloid or tau, or both, to indicate an Alzheimer's diagnosis despite not showing so much as a hint of the disease before their deaths. Remember the classic line in the New York deli scene from When Harry Met Sally when Meg Ryan proves a point to Billy Crystal by loudly faking an orgasm, prompting an older woman at another table to say, "I'll have what she's having." There are scientists who believe we could all avoid Alzheimer's, plaque or no plaque, if they could only give the rest of us whatever is protecting the resilient brains in that 30%. You can have abundant plaques and tangles without having Alzheimer's disease, says Rudy. The challenge is to figure out how. In 2019, one of Tanzi's colleagues reported the strange case of a woman from Medellin, Colombia. She had a genetic mutation that was known to generate astronomical levels of amyloid and, in every other such individual known to science, early-onset Alzheimer's. Yet this resilient woman has stayed dementia-free. What was her secret? It may have been an ultra-rare form of the gene APOE3, which stops tau from spreading through the brain. Similarly, Tanzi discovered that a mutant form of the gene CD33 can protect people from Alzheimer's. It stops the brain's palace guard immune cells called microglia from going rogue. Microglia are normally protective, clearing out dead cells and other brain debris, but without warning, they can turn into assassins, kindling a wildfire of neuroinflammation that Tanzi says kills 10 times more neurons than plaques and tangles do. Most anti-inflammatories either can't reach the brain or involve too many risks, from ulcers to strokes, to be used long-term. But AZ Therapies, a Boston-based startup Tanzi co-founded, is concluding a Phase 3 trial to tame the microglia. It tested more than 600 early-stage Alzheimer's patients with re-engineered versions of 2 common and well-tolerated medications, ibuprofen and cromolyn, an asthma drug. AZ Therapy's cocktail has the potential to slow the progression of Alzheimer's and, if given to healthy people at the first hints of pathology, it might actually prevent the disease. Tool number 6. Lifestyle changes. In the meantime, Rudy cannot stress enough how much your lifestyle choices can help improve your brain health and prevent the onset of Alzheimer's. Here are 6 that he recommends, and he uses the acronym SHIELD to remember them. 1. Sleep. For one, getting enough sleep is of vital importance. Rudy calls sleep mental floss because sleep clears amyloid out naturally. 2. Handle stress. Reducing stress is also key because stress causes release of cortisol in the body, which causes neuroinflammation and kills neurons. 3. Interaction. Social interaction, especially in the elderly, is critical since it lowers Alzheimer's risk by twofold. 4. Exercise. Exercise is one of the most important and most studied ways to improve brain health. Recent studies have shown that exercise actually induces neurogenesis, the birth of new neurons. 5. Learning. Learning new things, a language, an instrument, stimulates neuron growth. Intellectual stimulation can actually cause new synapses to form in your brain. 6. Diet. A low-sugar diet is important for health. Sugar causes inflammation. Tool number 7, Arethusa, clearing toxins from the brain. When trying to understand what goes wrong in Alzheimer's, neurobiologist Doug Ethel believes it's helpful to think of this deadly disease as a plumbing problem. When the aging brain is unable to drain away the protein sludge that accumulates over time, billions of neurons die. The cerebral cortex, home to awareness, memory, language, and consciousness, wastes away. Think of it this way. There's lots of unpleasant stuff in your bathroom's pipes all the time, just as all brains contain amyloid and tau. But it becomes a problem only when the pipes get stopped up. According to Ethel, who founded Leucadia Therapeutics in 2017 after leaving a promising career in academia, the solution is a neurosurgical roto-rooter, a low-risk procedure to get things flowing again. In most of the body, waste materials, dead cells, inflammatory molecules, globs of problem proteins, get swept away by our lymphatic disposal system. But the brain, buffered by the blood-brain barrier, relies on a different sanitation service, cerebrospinal fluid. This natural cleanser percolates through the interstitial spaces of the cortex and works its way outward to the medial temporal lobe and hippocampus, the seat of memory, where telltale signs of Alzheimer's are found early on. In a healthy brain, the fluid sweeps amyloid plaque and tau tangles down to a porous, bony, dime-sized plate between our eyes. Once it passes through this cribriform plate, the debris exits harmlessly through our nasal cavity. Leucadia's CT scan studies show that the cribriform plate thickens with age. In some cases, a bony veil may cover the plate's pores entirely. With no place to go, Ethel says, the protein debris accumulates in the brain like dead, matted leaves in a dried-out creek. He believes the process may be accelerated by head injuries and even a broken nose, which helps explain why ex-boxers and football players get punch drunk. In an experiment with ferrets, the ideal animal model for human Alzheimer's, Leucadia showed that blocking the cribriform plate killed 40% of neurons in nearby brain regions. 5 months later, the blocked animals were much slower in navigating a maze than untouched control ferrets. That told us we were on the right track, Ethel says. Leucadia has engineered a specialized CT scan to determine whether a person's cribriform plate is so obstructed that the brain is at risk for mild cognitive impairment, or if that ship has already sailed and become Alzheimer's disease. By looking at the clearance capacity of the cerebrospinal fluid and combining that with memory testing, we think we can predict who will get Alzheimer's and when, years before cognitive impairment sets in, Ethel told us. By itself, though, this predictive test wouldn't be all that helpful. Ethel's goal is to do something about it. Not just tell someone they're likely to develop Alzheimer's disease in 8 or 10 years, but offer them a solution. Enter Arethusa, a new experimental technology to restore cerebrospinal flow and clear toxins from the brain. Named after a nymph in Greek mythology who fled a lustful river god by turning into an underground stream, Arethusa is intended to be a safe and simple shunt that can be implanted through the nose in a twilight anesthesia procedure that will create a hidden stream that allows people to escape Alzheimer's even if they have MCI, mild cognitive impairment. Next steps include clinical trials and the FDA approval process, stepping stones on the way to what Ethel foresees as a way to reverse MCI and stop Alzheimer's in its tracks. Tool number 8. Blood plasma treatments. Meanwhile, small pilot studies have indicated that blood plasma just might be an effective way to mitigate symptoms of Alzheimer's. It's not terribly surprising considering the connection between the circulatory system and the brain, through which more than 1,000 liters of blood course every single day. Therapeutic plasma exchange swaps a person's blood plasma, the yellowish liquid that transports proteins and nutrients, with donated blood products to strain out toxins. In animal studies, when plasma from young, healthy mice was infused into mice bred to have Alzheimer's, the ailing mice experienced an improvement in cognition. And when 322 patients with Alzheimer's got multiple infusions of enriched plasma, their cognitive decline slowed down. Could elderly folks benefit from having their plasma replaced? Time will tell. Tool number 9. ISRIB. Is it possible to restore memories? At the University of California, San Francisco, researchers have found that an experimental drug can improve memory and mental flexibility in mice. Older mice regained cognitive abilities more typical of younger mice when treated with several doses of ISRIB. Researchers suggest an extraordinary possibility, that the aged brain has not permanently lost essential cognitive capacities, as was commonly assumed, but rather that these cognitive resources are still there but have been somehow blocked, trapped by a vicious cycle of cellular stress, explains Dr. Peter Walter, a professor in the University of California, San Francisco, UCSF, Department of Biochemistry and Biophysics. His lab discovered ISRIB in 2013. In a 2020 study, scientists found that older mice who got small doses of ISRIB during a 3-day training designed to teach them how to escape from a watery maze performed as well as younger mice and significantly outperformed mice their own age who hadn't gotten the drug. Calico, a Bay Area company working to unlock the biology of aging, has licensed ISRIB. There's reason to think the drug could be effective against dementia and Alzheimer's, as well as age-related cognitive decline. For now, it's essentially a rodent's version of the Fountain of Youth, but in time, it could translate to humans as well. Tool number 10. Vaccinity. Creating a vaccine to treat Alzheimer's. We know the right target and we know intervening earlier in the disease is better. So a vaccine proposition makes much more sense now than ever before. Mei-Mei Hu, co-founder and CEO, Vaccinity. When Time magazine named Mei-Mei Hu to its 2019 100 Next list, it gave her the highest praise, that you don't need a PhD to make a breakthrough in entrepreneurial science. A Harvard-trained lawyer, Mei-Mei excelled in an elite New York law firm and as a management consultant at McKinsey before returning to the family business, cutting-edge medical research. Hu's mother, Chang Yi Wang, is a legendary biochemist and immunologist who studied and developed a game-changing technology under 3 Nobel laureates and then co-founded United Biomedical. She's best known for her immune-based therapies for both people and livestock, including a vaccine to make male pigs healthier and tastier by suppressing their testosterone. Mei-Mei and her husband, Lou Reese, now the company's executive chairman, have since spun off a subsidiary, Vaccinity, in which my co-author Peter is a co-founder and vice chairman. I'm so impressed with their work that I became one of the early investors in the company. They've leveraged Chang Yi's platform technology, Mei-Mei told us, for a very specific purpose: to develop vaccines that harness the power of people's own immune systems to treat and prevent major diseases such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. As I was wrapping up this book, Vaccinity's Alzheimer's vaccine, codenamed UB311, was about to enter a large-scale efficacy, phase 2 and 3, trial, after demonstrating it was safe and effective at harnessing the body's immune system to manufacture antibodies that target and remove those ill-formed amyloid proteins. According to Mei-Mei, Vaccinity's early clinical data suggests a slowing of disease progression by up to 50% compared to placebo in all 4 cognitive and functional measures tested. In addition, through state-of-the-art functional MRI and PET, positron emission tomography, imaging, UP311 was seen to increase brain connectivity and reduce amyloid deposits in all 8 brain regions tested. Moreover, the safety profile appears to be excellent, with no cases of the drug-induced brain swelling that has been seen in other monoclonal antibody treatments and can result in serious side effects like confusion, changes in mental state, and even coma. Just as vaccines against measles or COVID-19 stir the immune system to produce antibodies against a particular virus, UB311 enlists antibodies against clumps of amyloid, empowering your own body to generate antibodies against a similar target to the one the FDA just approved for Biogen's Aduhelm, aducanumab. The difference is that UB311 appears to be safer, more effective, and far more convenient than aducanumab. Vaccinity is pursuing a radically new angle of attack. First of all, they're focused on warding off Alzheimer's as early as possible, ultimately long before symptoms surface. Second, they're taking a more selective Goldilocks approach to the amyloid cascade hypothesis. The Vaccinity team argues that mainstream science took a wrong turn by targeting the wrong kinds of amyloid. Either the full-blown sticky plaques first observed by Alois Alzheimer, or single molecules that hadn't clumped together. The just-right target, according to some experts, is in between. Small amyloid oligomeric clusters ranging from 2 to 8 molecules. These are the forms of amyloid that kill neurons, Lou Rees told us. They're the ones the vaccine trains the immune system to destroy. Vaccinity's treatment is delivered through a simple intramuscular injection similar to a flu shot. It contains specially engineered antigens, amyloid impersonators, that wake up the immune system. As with any good vaccine, Maymay says, this vaccine trains the body to fight disease. In testing so far, PET and MRI scans show that Vaccinity's Alzheimer's vaccine has reduced the quantity of brain amyloid deposits. Most important, it has resulted in real-world improvement in patients' cognitive and everyday mental functioning scores. It's passed its safety tests with flying colors. In fact, according to Maymay, if all goes well, soon after the time of this publication, Vaccinity's game changer could soon be approaching phase 3 trials. Their plan is to administer it quarterly to anyone with Alzheimer's, and once or perhaps twice a year to anyone whose brain scan shows preliminary signs of amyloid buildup. In a stark departure from typical big pharma and biotech pricing structures for life-changing medicines, Maymay said she feels a moral obligation to make the Alzheimer's vaccine more affordable than aducanumab's $56,000 annual price tag. We can manufacture millions of doses a year at a few dollars per dose, she said. The goal is to price at a fraction of the monoclonal antibodies and make it accessible to everyone who needs it. It's worth also pointing out that Vaccinity's vaccine platform goes way beyond only Alzheimer's treatment. Our goal is to use the Vaccinity platform to transform the treatment of many chronic diseases, says Lou Rees, listing targets like Parkinson's, migraines, allergies, bone loss, osteopenia, muscle loss, sarcopenia, and most recently a vaccine against COVID-19. We are building Vaccinity to be more like a tech company such as Apple or Tesla than a pharma company, continues Rees. Our goal is to pioneer the next biologic revolution and expansively disrupt the chronic disease area, treating diseases with a technology that is orders of magnitude cheaper and easier. Vaccinity's vaccines against migraines and hypercholesterolemia are now entering early phase 1 clinical trials, while its vaccine against Parkinson's is entering phase 2 trials with strong support from the Michael J. Fox Foundation. I haven't talked about this publicly before now, but my biological father had Alzheimer's. He didn't know who I was at the end. It was an excruciating experience for me and our whole family. That's when I promised myself to do all I could to find an answer for this disease, so that I'd never be a burden to others and could enjoy my own family forever. That's the reason I became one of the earliest investors in Vaccinity. I wanted to help provide capital to push these breakthroughs forward and make them available to all those who need them around the world. For me, this fight is personal. Tool number 11. Believe it or not, phenomenal fungi, the power of mushrooms. When it comes to the most unexpected of candidates for neurogenesis, mushrooms might take the cake. One of the most elusive and overlooked regenerators in nature, fungi comprise their own kingdom with over 1.5 million species, 6 times more than plants, and extraordinary network intelligence. Fungi's root network, called mycelium, has more networks than our brains have neural pathways and sends signals in much the same way, using electrolytes. Unlike our brains, however, a mycelium can live forever, as long as it has food to grow into. In fact, the oldest and largest organism on planet Earth is a fungus, spanning thousands of acres and thriving for thousands of years. As a potent natural regenerative force, fungi have given rise to everything from life-saving penicillin to novel pesticides and insecticides to compounds that regrow nerves in the brain. Yet we've barely even scratched the surface of the fungal genome. But what does this have to do with brain health? Let me introduce you to Paul Stamets, one of the world's foremost mycology experts and pioneers. An unlikely hero, Paul first began to uncover the medicinal and ecological secrets of mushrooms in 1974. Working as a logger, he was intimately familiar with the woods, although not from studying their ecology, rather from cutting them down. But during an impromptu visit to Paul's workplace in Darrington, Washington, his brother, John, began pointing out clusters of mushrooms that inhabited the woods, a phenomenon Paul had never noticed. 45 publications, 26 patents, and 29 patent applications later, Paul's fascination with fungi has never stopped. In fact, there's a fascinating documentary called The Power of Fungi on Netflix that you might find very interesting and fascinating to watch. Paul's latest launch, Myco Medical Life Sciences, promotes Stamets Stack, a blend of neurogeneration-inducing ingredients, including lion's mane mushroom, psilocybin, and niacin, nicotinic acid, the flushing form of vitamin B3. Stamets Stack may have diverse indications, including for Alzheimer's and dementia, neuroinflammation, Parkinson's, traumatic brain injury, TBI, depression, anxiety, pain, and addiction. Let's start with its first mushroom, lion's mane, which tastes like lobster or shrimp when cooked and was discovered to stimulate nerve regrowth by Japanese biochemist Dr. Hirokazu Kawagishi. In 1993, he realized it induced the synthesis of nerve growth factors, NGF, proteins that promote the survival and proliferation of nerves. Small-scale clinical trials found that lion's mane soup led to physical and cognitive improvements in dementia patients. This mushroom has continued to show promise in Alzheimer's ever since. The second key ingredient in the Stamets Stack? Psilocybin. While psychedelics were at the vanguard of psychiatric research in the 1950s and 60s, helping alcoholic patients maintain sobriety and treating end-of-life anxiety and depression in late-stage cancer patients, among other therapeutic applications, funding was promptly shut off with Nixon's declaration of the war on drugs. Today, however, psilocybin is seeing a powerful renaissance. In 2013, it was the experimental ingredient in an animal model study in which mice, treated with psilocybin, were found to overcome fear-conditioned stimulus responses by growing new neurological pathways. Ever since, psilocybin has proved an extraordinary ingredient through the microdosing data generated by Paul's Microdose.me, the largest psychedelic medicine data set collected from more than 14,000 participants. In addition to statistically significant reductions in anxiety and depression, microdosing has now shown groundbreaking outcomes for restoring fine motor ability in patients with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and mild cognitive impairment. Stamets Stack is now on a clear path to becoming a legalized drug for treatment of depression and similar indications, which Paul predicts will pave the way for fungi's magical healing properties to extend to other neurodegenerative diseases, including Alzheimer's. how a psychedelic molecule could potentially transform mental health. One thing we can always be certain about is that humanity will rise to overcome adversity. The COVID-19 pandemic has fueled a second crisis, a mental health crisis. According to The Lancet, about one-third of COVID-19 survivors will go on to develop anxiety or depression. There has also been a rise in substance abuse and suicide attempts. We have all seen Big Pharma scramble to develop COVID-19 vaccines, but one startup that I'm an early investor in has been scrambling to revolutionize how mental health disorders such as these are treated. Cybin, a biopharmaceutical company focused on progressing psychedelics to therapeutics, released preclinical findings that demonstrate multiple advantages for its newly developed novel deuterated psilocybin formula, a modified molecule, over oral psilocybin for the treatment of mental health. As we revealed earlier, breakthrough research at Johns Hopkins University has indicated oral psilocybin to be very effective in the treatment of mental health disorders, but with significant limitations, specifically slow onset of action, extended duration of effect, and a variability in response among patients. Cybin's proprietary molecular advancements offer positive benefits and address the challenges and limitations of oral psilocybin. In multi-species preclinical studies, the company's CYB003 program has demonstrated a 50% reduction in variability compared to oral psilocybin, indicates potential for more accurate dosing in patients with MDD, clinical depression, and AUD, those with heightened risk to depression. A 50% reduction in dose compared to oral psilocybin indicates potential to maintain equivalent efficacy while reducing side effects such as nausea. A 50% shorter time to onset when compared to oral psilocybin indicates potential for shorter duration of treatment, lower inter-subject variability, better therapeutic control and safety, leading to a better patient experience with lower cost and scalability. Nearly double brain penetration when compared to oral psilocybin indicates potential for a less variable treatment response, a lower dose therapeutic effect, and reduced patient side effects. The deuterated psilocybin analog in CYB003 has the potential to reduce time and resource burden on patients, providers, and payers, and possibly improving scalability and accessibility from the following conclusions. Faster onset of action equates to less downtime in the clinic before effects begin. Half the duration of effect translates to shorter clinic days or more patients per day. More predictable dose effects create a safer and more effective patient response. Lowered peripheral exposure diminishes the risk of nausea. And better brain penetration suggests lower overall dose needed to achieve clinical efficacy. Doug explains, "While we are all encouraged by the benefits of psilocybin, we need to transparently and openly discuss its limitations if we are to translate psychedelics to therapeutics for patients in need. The majority of current clinical studies are based on psilocybin. We have taken the necessary steps to potentially unlock the powerful benefits of psychedelics and engineer a superior molecule as demonstrated by the data." Tool number 12, preserving your hearing. One of the most powerful things you can do to head off dementia is to use a hearing aid if you need one. Trust me, this is huge. I've been leading events for 45 years since I was 17 years old. 45 years in stadiums with music blasting like a rock concert, not for 2 or 3 hours, but 12 hours a day, 5 or more days a week, multiple times each month. Some years back, I developed a case of tinnitus, a ringing in my ears. I could barely hear people talk in restaurants or crowded rooms. It got more and more frustrating, but I certainly didn't want to wear a hearing aid at 59 years old. That was for old people, right? But then I studied more about the neurological impact of hearing loss. When your ears aren't processing information at the level they used to, your brain doesn't process the same way either. That can be a one-way street to impaired cognition. Functional MRIs show that the brain will overwork to compensate for hearing loss. I changed my tune. I got tested by an audiologist, Stacey O'Brien, who confirmed the issue. It's not the hearing loss alone that drives the link to developing dementia, she told me. It's if the hearing loss is not treated. It was easy to put my vanity aside when I found some hearing devices that are literally invisible and built with AI technology. When someone is speaking, they translate the language in real time within my ears. It's pretty wild. Not only can I hear people better and use my iPhone without those white cords, but my tinnitus calmed down too. So do yourself a favor. If you think you might have a problem, get checked out and then get the technology you need. There are some very cool components out there. You might find yourself eavesdropping without even trying. Here are the dozen things that you can change or try to avoid that could actually stave off a full 40% of dementia cases, according to the Lancet Commission on Dementia Prevention, Intervention, and Care. In order of significance, they are 1. Hearing loss, 8.2% of cases. 2. Low education levels in youth, 7.1%. 3. Smoking, 5.2%. 4. Depression, 3.9%. 5. Social isolation, 3.5%. 6. Traumatic brain injury, 3.4%. 7. Air pollution, including secondhand smoke and wood-burning fireplaces, 2.3%. 8. Hypertension, systolic blood pressure higher than 130, 1.9%. 9. Physical inactivity, 1.6%. 10. Diabetes, 1.1%. 11. Excessive alcohol consumption, more than 3 drinks per day, 0.8%. 12. Obesity, a body mass index greater than 30, 0.7%. Tool number 13. Mental fitness and video games for brain health. If you want to be even more proactive in keeping your wits about you for a lifetime, we can recommend one more option. Consistent, systematic workouts for your brain. Not all mental exercise is equally useful, however. Data suggests that crossword puzzles and Sudoku don't do much to ward off mild cognitive impairment or Alzheimer's, but learning a new language or practicing the piano, on the other hand, seems to confer real benefits. Are you a gamer? Well, you're in luck. Some of the most effective anti-dementia tools around may be specialized video games devised by elite neuroscientists. Beyond inhibiting cognitive decline, they've shown potential to help healthy people stay sharp and become even sharper. The basis of video brain training is neuroplasticity, which offers a world of hope in the war against Alzheimer's. In a nutshell, it means that the adult brain is a work in progress. It never stops evolving. The gray matter in our prefrontal cortex, the site where decisions are made and problems are solved, can expand over time. We can grow new neurons and revamp our mental circuitry into our 70s and 80s and beyond. Neuroplasticity is evident through older adulthood, says neuroscientist Adam Gazzaley of the UCSF, a leader in the field. One of Gazzaley's early discoveries was that circuits that handle spatial attention, spotting objects in a visually cluttered scene, overlap with those for short-term working memory. Work on one, and you'll boost the other. When a mixed-age group of adults was trained over several days to press an iPad button whenever a pre-specified target flashed on the screen, they improved their working memory by 20%. Even more impressive, the 70-year-olds held their own against the 25-year-olds. The older people's underlying neural circuitry was intact. It just needed some high-intensity activity to snap back into shape. In collaboration with LucasArts, the UCSF team subsequently developed a 3D video game to improve cognitive control, the ability to switch from one focus of attention to another within microseconds. People's capacity for multitasking declined steadily after age 20, but after 12 one-hour sessions with Gazzaley's NeuroRacer, where players use a joystick to navigate a virtual car while at the same time watching for road signs, people from 60 to 85 multitasked as well as untrained 20-year-olds. It was the first evidence that a customized game can be a powerful tool for cognitive enhancement, Gazzoli told us. An updated NeuroRacer is under study as a diagnostic for Alzheimer's and a therapy for vascular dementia, depression, and autism. In 2020, the FDA approved the game as a treatment for children with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. These young people can now play their medicine instead of taking drugs like Adderall. The best brain training programs, according to an independent analysis, target spatial attention and speed of processing, or how quickly our circuits pass signals from one neuron to the next. One outfit that stands head and shoulders above the rest, the experts say, is Posit Science, the creator of Brain HQ. Their app is offered free by some Medicare Advantage plans and also by subscription. Cognitive training works, says Posit CEO Henry Monka, and it's time to put it to use. But can brain training reduce the risk of Alzheimer's? In a 10-year study led by Jerry Edwards, a neurobiologist at the University of South Florida, healthy older adults, average age 74, were divided into a control group and three intervention arms. In a course of 10 sessions over 6 weeks, plus some booster sessions 1 and 3 years later, one subgroup learned memory strategies. Another received instruction on reasoning strategies. The third subgroup got computerized brain training designed to improve the speed and accuracy of visual attention, including both divided and selective attention exercises. At the end of the 10 years, among subjects who'd completed 15 or more one-hour sessions, there were nearly as many people with dementia in the memory and reasoning groups as in the control group, the ones who'd done nothing at all. But people in the brain training group reduced their dementia risk by a whopping 45% for an investment of less than 24 hours of their time. Imagine the possibilities if people trained their brains as frequently as they hopped on a treadmill. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy, a powerful epigenetic treatment whose time has arrived. By Dr. Paul G. Harch, M.D., Clinical Professor of Medicine, Department of Medicine, Section of Emergency Medicine and Hyperbaric Medicine, former Director, LSU, Hyperbaric Medicine Fellowship, former Director, Department of Hyperbaric Medicine, University Medical Center, New Orleans. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy, HBOT, which has been misunderstood and maligned for 359 years, has now become understood as the most pervasive epigenetic therapy known to man. Applied to more than 130 medical diagnoses, HBOT has confused and confounded the medical profession since its debut in 1662. Dramatic healing effects have been documented along with what have been considered wildly exaggerated claims. Physicians determined to know the mechanism of action of a therapy before referring patients for any treatment have been unable to elucidate the mechanisms of action of HBOT. Until now. Known as a treatment for diver's disease, inflammation, and wound conditions, HBOT heals wounds by growing new tissue. To grow new tissue, the nucleus of every cell must be stimulated to divide and multiply. In 2008, Dr. Godman took the most reactive cells in the human body, the cells that line all of the tiniest blood vessels, subjected them to a single HBOT, and measured the activity of all 19,000 protein-coding genes in the 46 chromosomes of these human cells. At the end of 24 hours, 8,101, 40% of our 19,000 genes were turned on or off by a single HBOT session. The largest groups of genes that turned on? The growth and repair hormone genes and the anti-inflammatory genes. The largest groups of genes temporarily turned off, the pro-inflammatory genes and genes that code for cell death. For 359 years, every time a patient went into a hyperbaric chamber, they were inhibiting inflammation, stimulating tissue growth, and stopping cell death, and did so not by changing the DNA code, but by affecting the proteins that are the gatekeepers for the genes. Essentially, HBOT was an epigenetic therapy, and the net result was healing. In addition to its epigenetic effects, HBOT heals wounds through wide-ranging effects on stem cells. HBOT has been shown to stimulate proliferation of stem cells in our bone marrow, release of bone marrow stem cells into our circulation, maturation of released stem cells, homing to, implantation, and maturation of stem cells at sites of injury, and proliferation, migration, and maturation of stem cells within the brain to sites of brain injury. Realizing the combination of stem cell and HBOT's gene modulatory effects on wounds and inflammation, HBOT can now be appreciated as a treatment for wounds in any location in the body and of any duration. Traditionally applied to long-standing diabetic foot wounds, radiation wounds in cancer patients and other extremity wounds, as well as acute wounds like crush injuries and plastic surgery wounds where skin grafts and flaps fail, it is obvious that there is no difference between a wound in the arm, face, or leg and a wound in the liver, bone, or brain. In the past 50 years, HBOT has been shown to be the most effective therapy for traumatic brain injury, TBI. A few HBOT sessions within the first few days after severe TBI has reduced death from TBI by 50%, a salvage rate rivaled in the history of mankind only by penicillin. In chronic mild TBI, HBOT has been shown since 2012 to be the most effective therapy for patients suffering from persistent concussion symptoms. Realizing that wounds in the body, especially to the brain, can be caused by such a vast array of insults such as chemicals, trauma, lack of blood flow, lack of oxygen, food additives, pesticides, herbicides, Agent Orange, for example, bubbles in the bloodstream, general anesthesia, toxic gases, stress of all types, physical, emotional, psychological, sexual, combat, birth complications, infection, etc., it is now easy to appreciate the rapidly increasing scientific evidence showing that HBOT can treat dementia, mild cognitive decline, and vascular dementia. Given that our genes are one of the largest targets of HBOT activity, that HBOT is an epigenetic therapy, that aging is rooted in our genes, and HBOT is showing effectiveness in aging of the brain, claims that HBOT may have regenerative anti-aging effects and effects on longevity is understandable. For HBOT, it is a whole new world, and it has been so in my practice for the past 35 years. Initially, attempting to identify HBOT-responsive diagnoses in 1989, I have now treated nearly 100 conditions, the majority of which are neurological. In the past 18 years, I have found that the success of this therapy is dependent on the dose of oxygen and pressure used, i.e. precision dosing, since different gene clusters are activated by different levels of oxygen and pressure. While all living organisms are sensitive to changes in atmospheric pressure and oxygen, each patient and their disease are idiosyncratic and respond to a dose of hyperbaric oxygen and pressure that is right for them. With custom dosing to a patient's condition, this 359-year-old therapy, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, has become a foundational biological treatment for the future. Which brings me to the reason I was invited by Tony to write this short segment on hyperbaric oxygen therapy. In 2017, Tony contacted me about a 2-year history of memory problems, fatigue, and losing his train of thought. His closest aides and associates were concerned to the point of tears about his health and cognitive abilities. Tony had been diagnosed with mercury poisoning due to a high fish diet and had undergone detox, but problems remained. During these years, he had received limited hyperbaric oxygen therapy at 8 different facilities in the U.S. and internationally without noticeable benefit. In April of 2017, I evaluated Tony in New Orleans and custom dosed him with SPECT brain imaging before and after a single HBOT. The imaging showed a significant increase in brain blood flow at the chosen dose of HBOT. With Tony's being unable to stay in New Orleans for the typical 8 weeks of treatment and dosing, my staff flew around the world with Tony, treating him at performance sites in Los Angeles, Fiji, Australia, Panama, New York, and the Netherlands. By the 26th treatment, he was feeling remarkably better and received a stem cell treatment. After 9 more HBOTs that likely stimulated implantation of the stem cells, Tony was on top of the world again. Since 2017, my staff and I have continued to treat Tony on a regular basis. Along with the many other therapies he receives, HBOT has rejuvenated Tony and helped facilitate his record-breaking superhuman performance. For more information on HBOT, please visit HBOT.com. Mind over matter. I think, therefore I am. René Descartes, 17th century mathematician and philosopher. We've covered a lot of ground in this chapter. We wanted to show you that for one of the most feared and largest challenges in medicine, there are so many solutions being brought to you now, or are on the horizon. You now have 13 cutting-edge developments to look for so that you know ways to prevent Alzheimer's and dementia, as well as tools that are coming if you or someone you love is beginning to experience symptoms. I hope you come out of this feeling an air of optimism about what the next few years may bring to prevent, control, and manage Alzheimer's. As a quick review, we've learned about a blood test that can predict Alzheimer's before symptoms emerge. We've seen how infusing young people's blood plasma into older folks may put the brakes on their cognitive decline. We found that a drug discovered in a university lab can boost memory in mice and hopefully in people eventually. And we've seen that an Alzheimer's vaccine in clinical trials has dramatically slowed the disease's progression and so much more. It goes without saying that a new era is dawning. I am so grateful to be alive at a time when there are legitimate grounds for hope that you and I will be keeping our wits about us for as long as we walk this earth. Now that we're refreshed on ways to keep our minds limber, youthful, and strong, let's turn to the last section of the book about longevity and mindset. Throughout this book, we have learned about countless incredible tools available to help us live our best lives. In these final chapters, we'll look at the giant technological wave and what it means for the future of health, and why taking control of our mindset matters the most. Mind and emotions shape not only our health, but the quality of our life. In the next chapter, I'm going to turn you over to my co-author, Peter Diamandis, who will share with you all of the exponential breakthroughs that are coming, as well as the forces that may well lead us to longevity escape velocity. Then I'll join you for the final chapter on how you can create the most extraordinary quality of life by tapping into the power of your mind and then make a few decisions to transform the experiences of your life. So, let's discover the power of longevity and exponential technologies.